May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and useful to your purposes of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we heard some initial thoughts on that gospel story in our children's talk at the beginning. And at its simplest, the parable that Jesus tells has a straightforward message: don't be greedy. Don't take more than you need. Think of others. But parables always have multiple layers of meaning. A parable is a story with a twist, and the aim is to surprise us and make us think differently about life and about God. What's the twist in this story of the rich man with an abundant harvest? I think it's the fact that he dies. We're not expecting that. On the very night when he decides the solution to his storage problems is to build bigger barns, he dies. Until that point, those who hear the story are probably thinking, what a sensible thing to do. Knock down the small old barns, build bigger ones, and enjoy several years free of labour and toil. Who wouldn't welcome that prospect? But he dies, and as the old saying has it, you can't take it with you. The once rich man stands naked and impoverished before God. Grapes, grain, and olives, and even beans are no use to him there. So perhaps Jesus is challenging us to think about death, about our own mortality. The writer of Ecclesiastes, our first Old Testament reading, is rather obsessed with death. For him, the prospect of death makes everything meaningless. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity and a chasing after wind. What's the point of all our toiling under the sun when everything comes to an end with our death, when all that we have worked for is left behind to be enjoyed by someone else? Rather a depressing reading. Paul, writing to the Colossians, takes a different approach to death. We have already died, he says, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. He is referring to our baptism, when we become one with Christ in his death and resurrection. We put off the past and we put on the new, a new way of life in Christ. In that new life, we identify so much with Christ that his interests are our interests. His way of living and seeing become ours too. So as Christians, we are called to live as if already in heaven, as if already in the kingdom of God. And so we are called to put to death, there, that word again, put to death all earthly things. And Paul goes on to give a rather grim list of sins and bad behaviour, including the sin of covetousness or greed. Greed, which, says Paul, is the same as idolatry. And that's because it puts other things in the place of God. Whether fast cars, fashion, the latest phone or other tech device, books, paintings, or whatever other stuff we accumulate and store in order to bolster our sense of identity, status, and security. Stuff. Stuff. I think you know what I mean when I call it stuff. If you have moved house recently, as we did last year, you will know only too well the problem of having too much stuff. Richard Branson, the rich man who owns an island, several trains, and quite a large part of the UK National Health Service, he has a lot of stuff. Well, apparently he tweeted this last week that he truly believes that stuff really does not bring happiness. family, friends, good health, and the satisfaction from making a positive difference are what really matters. Well, I'm sure we all agree with him on that. We might be surprised that it's taken him so long to discover this truth. And I can't help wondering if that means he will start giving most of his stuff away, which might be good. I can't also help noticing that he seems to be motivated by a desire for happiness. And I believe Christians should have a different motivation. I'm not saying that Christians should not desire happiness, but the motivation for our new way of life in Christ lies elsewhere. When Jesus in the parable implicitly criticizes the rich man, it is not for his desire to eat, drink, and be merry. It is because the rich man is living a life totally centered on himself. The words I and me and my occur many times in the text. There is no mention of wife, children, friends, neighbours. The rich man seems to have no relationships and no community. The rich man is motivated purely by self-interest and a selfish desire for personal comfort and ease. What should we as Christians be motivated by? Surely by thinking of what God has done for us. In creating us out of love, in redeeming and healing us out of love, and in setting us free to love others as Christ loved us. Let's recall why Jesus tells this story of the rich man and his small barns. It's in response to a voice from the crowd asking him to arbitrate in a dispute between him and his brother. The situation is probably that of a younger brother who is angry because his older brother is refusing to share their deceased father's inheritance. At that time, a common practice was for heirs to live together in order to avoid splitting the property. It made more economic sense if the land was kept together. But in this case, the younger brother seems to want his own share and his independence. And maybe he's fallen out with his brother and can't bear to live and work with him. The man in the crowd treats Jesus like one of the rabbis, who would often be called upon to make judgments in matters of law and where there was a dispute. But Jesus wants nothing of that. You can hear the exasperation in Jesus' voice as he says, "Who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" It's as if he's saying, you haven't been listening, have you? You haven't been listening. Because Jesus' mission and message is absolutely different from that of the rabbis. As one commentator puts it, he came to bring people to God, not property to the people. All his teaching and his ministry and his practice of table fellowship have this one aim, to bring people to a knowledge of the love and compassion and mercy of God, and to the experience of liberation that goes with that knowledge. Once we know truly and deeply that we are eternally loved by God, then we are set free to live lives of love, compassion and mercy ourselves. We are set free from the sensible course of storing up treasures for ourselves and building bigger barns. And we can embrace the risk of living a new life in Christ and being rich towards God. Being rich towards God is simply being rich towards others. Whether with our time, our skills, our prayers, our resources. Instead of being greedy and hoarding everything for himself, the rich man could have shared the abundance of his harvest. Then God would not have called him a fool. Parables take their meaning from the context in which they are heard. The meaning that leapt from the page for me when I first looked at this passage in preparation for today was our current climate and environmental crisis. I thought of beginning my sermon with that thought, but decided to end with it instead, because sometimes people remember the end rather than the beginning. I think if Jesus were around now, he might tell the story rather differently. Here's what the parable might become for us today. There was once a people whose planet provided them with resources of all kinds, not only fresh, clean water, fruits and vegetables in their season, but also minerals, metals, and long-buried carbons, the remains of once living things that could be processed and burned to provide warmth, light, and energy. The people looked at all the resources and said, "What shall we do? There is enough to meet everyone's needs, both now and into the future." "But that is boring. Where's the excitement in that? So we shall dig and drill and build and trade, and a few people will accumulate vast riches and will desire ever new things to spend their riches on. So we shall dig and drill and build and trade even more. And we shall become addicted to stuff and to travel and to speed and to convenience, and we shall have whatever we want, and we shall have it now." And God said to them, let us pray. Generous God, you have created a world where there is enough for everyone's needs, but not for everyone's greed. Help us not to hoard or squander your creation, but to share with each other. Amen. Amen.